Hello and welcome back to another episode of Manual Mode. I'm your host, Mariah Sautel, and today is a little different. We're just doing a solo Q&A. I asked you guys a few weeks ago for some questions that you might have for me regarding work or my book or anything else. So I'm going to go down that list and answer them for you. So, first question is about time management in and outside of work. How do you balance it all? So I'm gonna start by talking about this idea of balance. I don't know that that's actually a thing. I think that when we talk about wanting balance, what we actually want is presence in whatever we are currently doing. So I don't strive for balance, I just strive for presence in work or life or whichever one I am in at the moment. That's what I want. So when we're thinking about time management, I think this is just a smaller piece of the bigger concept of boundaries as an entrepreneur. And you have to be able to set boundaries because no one else is setting them for you. So this is setting boundaries with yourself, setting boundaries with family and friends, setting boundaries with clients. And when it comes to setting boundaries with yourself, it takes a lot of discipline to schedule things in according to when you are going to be your most creative. I have a podcast where I talk about CEO versus creator tasks and how you can divide those up. So if you go a few episodes back, I talk a lot about just kind of how I tackle that in my own work. So where was I? Oh yeah, so creator versus CEO tasks, really dividing into your zone of genius and figuring out when you do your best genius work, when you are your most creative, and scheduling your time accordingly. I also think that it's important to tell yourself that you don't have to do it all in one day. When I have emails coming in, the temptation is always to just like handle everything, to feel like I have to do everything or I can't stop for the day. And if you adopt that mindset, you're going to reach just total burnout because there's no way that you as an entrepreneur can answer everyone all in one day or be chasing inbox zero. It's just going to drain you. So just another type of boundary setting, boundaries on how long you're going to spend answering emails. So I hope that's helpful. It's a little arbitrary because I don't know that there's one system that works for everyone, but it's really figuring out what boundaries allow you to be your most creative and work the best with just your working style and your schedule, and then just setting in your calendar. Okay, so the next question is how to find clients when first starting out. So there are a few ways to go about this. First, you need a portfolio. Now, a lot of people will be tempted to go and try to do work for free to build a portfolio. Well, I don't think there's any wrong way for you to grow. I don't think you should be finding clients and doing free work for them because it usually ends up with everyone being frustrated because good quality photography takes time and money. It takes investment. Anything that we want to see a really good outcome from takes financial investment. So in a scenario like this, it's unlikely that you and the client are both going to walk away happy. You're going to feel like they took advantage of your offer to work for free. They are going to feel like you didn't do what they wanted. And it doesn't lead to a paid relationship down the road. Maybe you get some good portfolio images, maybe you don't, but photography is just a thing where you can build a portfolio on personal projects. So I think it's just so much better to do that. And to assist, look for photographers. Photographers pretty much always need an assistant on set on bigger jobs. So find them and assist and potentially get some stuff for your portfolio that way. And that will also help you build connections with stylists and other assistants. So you can build your network, build your portfolio. Then when it comes to actually getting clients, reach out and pitch your portfolio to them, send it to different people. And you don't have to say, I've never had a client before. You can say, here's my portfolio. And if you have beautiful imagery that matches what they're looking for, then there's no need for you to bring up the fact that they are your first client. But I think that assisting is just an amazing way to learn and to get more comfortable dealing with clients and get comfortable being on set. And even getting testimonials from other people on set on the type of worker that you are is a great way to get some starter testimonials on your website. And then when it comes to actually like the methods for pitching clients, you can email, you can use LinkedIn. Typically a contact doesn't really want you to reach out in DMs. Maybe you can do that to get an email address, but really focus in on more formal methods of communication, even mail, going in person to some places. So that's a good, just kind of starter way to get your foot in the door with paid work. Resources for the business side of food photography. Shameless plug for my mastermind, which I created because there weren't a lot of good business resources, which the doors aren't open right now, but I'll be reopening them soon. I am a big fan of learning business through business coaches and marketing people outside of the photography world. That's just how I have always chosen to learn. I love Seth Godin. I read everything he writes, listen to his podcast. I love Amy Porterfield. Her podcast, Online Marketing Made Easy, is a really great way to learn marketing. Focus on Women is an organization that does weekly clubhouse talks with reps and stylists, so that's a good thing as well. I also like Brendan Bouchard. He's a really good business-minded person. Stu McLaren as well also has a lot of resources and a podcast and things like that. So I typically have always tried to distance myself from just people who teach photography business or just teach kind of food photography, because I find that some of it can be a little narrow-minded and maybe not what you need when you want to operate at a high level. So I really try to seek out people who are really great at business and marketing and branding and get my information and my education from them. Tips for finding clients with monthly work. So this starts by building relationships with clients. I don't know that you are going to get monthly work off the bat, but if you can find a client and start building a really good relationship with them, do good work when you do work with them, send them follow-up thank you notes, send them Christmas gifts, really show them some love on social media if you can use the images in that capacity, and then reaching out if they're kind of becoming a repeat client and being like, hey, if we get you in a monthly retainer, like, you get first access to me. Also, if you find clients like a restaurant or some consumer brands as well who really seem to need like monthly reels or a monthly batch of images, you can pitch them, like create a guide maybe that talks about monthly services. You don't have to list prices per se, but just talk about services that you offer on an ongoing basis and send them kind of that PDF or print out the guide and send it to them just so that they have a good go-to list about your services. Can you talk about health as an entrepreneur? I feel like this is an entirely different podcast just because this is so intertwined with how I got where I am today with having an autoimmune disease and needing to manage that through food, and also learning just how much autoimmune disease is connected to lifestyle and stress. But for me, a big benefit of being an entrepreneur is that I can focus on my health. The downside is that I feel every little thing that happens in my business, and that's not always great for my nervous system, which is not good for anything. So for me, a big thing is taking regular breaks and walks, just getting some time outside, not listening to a podcast or music or anything, but just really getting out and breathing and really centering and just grounding myself. Having time restraints on work is also helpful. And I try to be really mindful. I know that it's taxing for me to be on a shoot and that I am really on. And as someone who is definitely more introverted, I feel like it's just especially exhausting for me. So I try to be really mindful of supporting myself around times when I'm having a big shoot, just making sure that I am eating enough, and getting enough rest. Getting enough sleep is so key for me. And really going back to eating enough, my whole life have had a tendency to accidentally undereat, even when I thought I wasn't, because a lot of the food that I can eat as someone with celiac is lower calorie. So I can seem like I'm eating a lot, but I'm really eating like 1,000 calories, which is nowhere near enough food. So making sure that I'm eating enough and prioritizing meal times and not eating on the go or not eating at my laptop, but really sitting down and like chewing my food and, getting into a rest and digest state, and making sure that I have things that are balancing my blood sugar, eating, you know, every 3 hours, things like that. I feel like I'm glossing over this because there just isn't enough time in this episode for me to go deep in all of this, but, if I had to boil it down, I would say just eating enough, sleeping enough, being really mindful of stress and my nervous system, and saying no, being willing to say no to projects that just aren't worth it, saying no to clients, saying no to speaking or mentoring. I've had to turn down a lot of asks for me to do things in my spare time because I just know I need my rest, and I'm already working a lot right now with our busy shoot schedule and my mastermind and this podcast and writing a book, and that's just the tip of it. So saying no, and not being guilty, saying no and beating myself up about it, because you might as well have just said yes in that case. So maybe I'll do a full episode on this. Let me know if that's something you guys want. Can you talk about your cookbook deal? Yes, I absolutely can. So I'm assuming you're wanting to know how I got this. So it's a little unconventional. I was offered a cookbook deal, which does not typically happen. And I chose to say yes. I debated it. Wasn't totally sure if it was going to be the right move for me, but ultimately decided it's a great business card, so I did it, and it was really fun. It was a lot because I did everything myself. I do have a publisher and an editor, but I took on the book design because it was just something I had a vision for, and then there wasn't budget for me to hire anyone to help with this, so I did do styling and photography myself, which I wouldn't typically recommend, but that's just how the cookie crumbled on this one. But yeah, it was really fun. I would really like to do another book, but to do so, I would want to get an agent and pitch around to some other publishers. So I do think I will do that at some point. It's just not something I've had the bandwidth to dive into because typically the process is a little more involved than what it ended up being for me since I was offered the deal. But yeah, it's a little peek behind the curtain at that. Our publishing date did get moved a little, so it'll be out in March, but coming really soon. Okay, so we also have a few pricing questions. One is, do you itemize your proposals? Yes. So I do an estimate first for a client, and this includes a full itemized estimate that will show my creative fee, prop fees, ingredient expenses, prop stylist time, food stylist time, what they pay for licensing. And it's all broken down and itemized. I find that is the best way to go. And then it really helps the client understand what they're getting from you. And then if they want to talk about price, you can be like, okay, well, what part do you want to get rid of? And sometimes they're like, wait, we do actually need all of this. So I find breaking down an estimate to be very helpful. Another thing is, how do you calculate licensing? And this is a little hard for me to answer number wise, but there are a lot of resources out there. There's a Getty pricing calculator. There's also a software. I'm forgetting what it's called, but it, I think, is kind of a gold standard. And you plug in the project that you're using, and it kind of helps you figure that out. Another thing is BlankBid. This is a great tool as well for even breaking down an estimate, but there's some licensing help in there. So I hope that's helpful. But another thing with estimates and licensing, make sure that you're setting a time frame for when this licensing expires and when they can renew it for. A good place to start is maybe letting them use it for 3 years or however long they think they're going to need it, but make sure there's an expiration date on there. Okay, last one, most important thing I've learned running my own business. So I did an episode, my first episode, where I talked through 5 key mindset shifts, and I think those are the biggest things that I would say here. I talked kind of about relationship with money and then understanding pricing and just some mindset things, but here are a few things that I've been thinking about lately that I think are really key lessons. One is, don't take things personally. That sounds simple, but it's really hard to implement, but so key in creative work. You cannot let yourself be too tied to other people's opinions of your work. You also can't take it personally if you get ghosted. That happens to me on a weekly basis. Don't take it personally when another photographer in this space is rude to you. This hasn't happened to me a lot, but a few times that it has happened, I took it really hard at first, because I really think we can all have success, but you just kind of have to learn to let things be water off your back and to focus on just creating and serving, and things are going to happen that are not great. And the work, yes, is still going to be somewhat personal to you, but I think you have to learn to separate yourself from that a little bit. And yeah, just be grateful and happy that you are living your creative dream and let that be enough. Another thing that I have found really helpful is kind of this notion that like creative blocks are not real. Anytime we think we have writer's block or some sort of creative block, it's really us just being afraid of making something bad. So when you feel like you're not creative or you're not, you have writer's block or something like this, it isn't, that's not a thing. It's just in your head and it's just you being afraid of the thing you're making being not good. But the more you just work through it and like flush out all of the bad stuff, you get to something better. I think it was Ed Sheeran who said that it's kind of like turning on old pipes. And every time you sit down to do some creative work and you just have to let all the brown water kind of flush out, but it takes that forward motion to get it out, and then you start to get the good stuff. But it's just kind of a necessary evil that you work through a little bit of stickiness while you're warming up. So anytime you feel blocked, you're not blocked, you are just afraid of doing something bad, and you just have to let yourself do something bad and then work on it until it gets better. So much of creative work is actually refining and editing. The actual, I would say probably 25% of what we do is actually creating, and then the rest is refining and editing. And I think that is true of any creative field. No matter what you're doing, it is not this like stream of consciousness creative thing all the time. Most of it is just working through something and refining it until you get to like the diamond in the rough. So if you feel like that, it's normal. It's something I deal with every day now. That's just creativity for you. And the last thing I would say is that clients are more insecure than you. A lot of times we are nervous to talk pricing or negotiation or take the lead on a shoot because we think that clients are looking to us to lead them and they, are going to notice when we slip up. But really, yes, clients are looking to you for guidance because they are more insecure than you. And you really have to get into this headspace of being the expert and the guide and knowing that you know better than the client, and that's why they are paying you. And they are coming to you with a need. And if you just focus on filling that need and guiding them, that's how you do your best work. So don't be afraid to take charge with clients and serve them well and lead them and speak up and, be tactful, but let someone know if you think that they're making a wrong decision or if something at a shoot needs to be moved or if they're asking for something that isn't going to have a good outcome. And along with that, charge a little more. Charge a little more because people aren't questioning your rates as much as you think they are because they are so wrapped up in their own world. And if you need to negotiate and you need to stand your ground and explain something about a price, then you can do that. But just really go into things with confidence, knowing that clients expect you to be the expert in your field. So I hope that was helpful. I'm sorry I'm recording this on an afternoon, which I never tried to do because that's when the city is loud. But I think we mitigated it for the most part. But thank you as always for the great questions. I have a few more weeks of interviews coming up, and then we're going to take a little break for the holidays. So stay tuned next week for another guest. In the meantime, please rate, review, and subscribe. It really helps this show. And until next time, keep creating. Thank you.